Prepare for a righteous reckoning in the new season of the HBO original series, The Righteous Gemstones. When the spoiled gemstone children finally get their wish to take control of the church, they discover leadership is harder than they imagined, and that their extravagant lifestyle comes with a heavy price. Starring Danny McBride, John Goodman, Edie Patterson, and Adam Devine, watch the all-new season of The Righteous Gemstones this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Max. Subscription required. Visit max.com for details.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Looking cross ice, Stone intercepts. This time he sends it down in a walk ball and go into the goal. It's a hat trick in the clincher. Mark Stone, the captain, makes it 8-3 Golden Knights with 6 minutes to go in the third period. One in the first, one in the second, and now a goal in the third period, sending the Knights to what will be a Stanley Cup championship. They talk about dreaming. The Golden Knights are going to make that dream a reality. A devotion to destiny. Misfits to champions. The Vegas Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup in 2023. The first Stanley Cup championship in Golden Knights history comes in their sixth season. The Silver State is home to the greatest silver trophy in all of sports. The mob is behind Aiden Hill's goal. All the players swarming one another, jubilant in celebration. The fans on their feet can't stop.
The Stanley Cup has now been awarded. It's been handed over to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Back-to-back nights here on the show, we get to crown champions. And back-to-back nights, it's a pair of first-time champions, which is really neat. Now, I know the Vegas Golden Knights didn't have to wait that long, but some of these players did. All right, so the franchise maybe didn't have to wait more than a decade. Certainly didn't have to wait as long as the Denver Nuggets did. But a lot of these players did. Remember, very few of these players were drafted by the Knights and kept by the Knights. And there's only six guys remaining from their original roster when they entered the NHL in 2017. Only six guys. You hear Dan Duva refer to the Misfits. That's what they're called, the six Misfits that are still remaining. And so the roster has seen a ton of turnover, and actually there's been a lot of criticism in the way that the Vegas Golden Knights have handled their roster moves and some of their players, like Marc-Andre Fleury, who was part of the original Misfits and helped them get to a Stanley Cup in their first season. They fell short then against the Washington Capitals. And it was always supposed to be that way. That was the year that belonged to Alexander Ovechkin and the Caps. But 6 years later, only six of those originals remain. So a lot of these guys have waited a long time and their careers have seen twists and turns. But yes, it will go down as the first Stanley Cup in Golden Knights history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It doesn't always happen this way, but it's pretty cool to be able to crown champions on two consecutive nights. The Denver Nuggets just 24 hours ago, and now the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And with that, the winter sports season is officially done. Baseball, you're it, man. You are the king of the hill now, except I got to tell you, it's so fitting that practices, the second round of OTAs, rookie practices specifically, are now taking place in the NHL, or now taking place in the NFL. So even as the NBA and the NHL exit stage left, though they do have their drafts and their free agency periods upcoming, right away, NFL is happy to fill that void. Ooh, ooh, pick me, pick me. The NFL never goes away.
We're talking about practice.
Seriously, and we do. We talk about practice. It's kind of crazy, actually.
We ain't talking about the game.
Yeah, not even games within 3 months, for heaven's sakes. We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice, man.
Yeah. Actually, I maybe should amend that. We are just inside of 3 months to the first games kicking off. So there goes the perfect show. Ruh-roh. It's our hump show. That is to be expected. Middle show of the work week. Man, we got here quickly. As we head through these next few hours, we will, of course, hear from the Las Vegas Golden Knights as well as Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Panthers. There was no Matthew Tkachuk in game number 5 in Las Vegas. Turns out he had a broken sternum. Ouch. As in, ouch. That's what they call an upper body injury. So clandestine in the NHL. So the Panthers were missing the top goal scorer, their top point getter in Matthew Tkachuk, their leader, their fire, if you will. But I don't know that it would have mattered. Because Vegas has always had more firepower. And they could smell it. They were close and they could smell it. Captain Mark Stone with a hat trick, including the empty netter, late in the third period. And do you know, and this is really the emphasis for the Vegas Golden Knights and their ability to bombard opposing defenses and goalkeepers, Stone, with his hat trick tonight, became the fourth member of the Golden Knights with at least 10 goals in this postseason. Hello, productivity. That is incredible. And he wasn't even the Conn Smythe winner. Now, that went to Jonathan Marchessault, who had 13 goals and 11 assists in the postseason. Jack Eichel, also with 10 plus goals in this postseason. They hit you hard. They hit you fast. They hit you often. And with the revelation of Adin Hill in goal, they had the perfect formula. May not be the original misfits, but there are still a half dozen left and a bunch of guys who have been in other places in their careers who came together for such a time as this. So we'll let you hear more of the highlights. Most goals ever scored in a clincher. 9 of them. 9. That's a bad baseball score. In fact, as the Golden Knights put 9 goals in net, they did, in fact, outscore. I said, in fact, twice in the span of about 10 seconds, because it is a fact. They did outscore a host of baseball teams on the diamond on this Tuesday night. First championship in franchise history, the 7th in the NHL ever to have a Stanley Cup before they turned age 7. But actually, a bunch of those came years and years ago, going back to the original 6, right? So this is, it's an incredible feat. And ownership, front office management, they kept their eye on the prize. And honestly, they were as ruthless as Bill Belichick in putting this team together. But ultimately, it pays off. And you can say what you want about the Golden Knights and how they do business. But right now, you have to call them Stanley Cup winners. Love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get to it at some point on this hump show. Just your reaction today to the column that Peter Schwartz wrote about me. Just a few words about my winding career path. But wow, I put it out there first on the show because Peter joined us. He's that kind of a pop-in cameo. Remember, he used to be on the show. If you didn't hear the show going back to its inception, then you wouldn't know this, but he used to be part of the show as our nightly anchor, and then the company made some changes and handed out some pink slips and some layoffs, and he was no longer part of our show full-time, but he continues to work here on a freelance basis and also with our New York affiliate, and he wrote this column for a media website, an industry website, and we had him in studio to talk about it. Because he had a specific angle that he wanted to cover. And even when he interviewed me, I could tell he was angling toward a very specific perspective. And I shared it with my family, shared it with a few friends, shared it with Bob, who then shared it with his whole family. I didn't realize he was going to do that. Thanks, Bob. But as I shared it with you on Tuesday morning, you all bombarded me with your responses on both Twitter and Facebook, and I am grateful. It's just a few words. It really doesn't capture my entire career. How that's not even possible, how that would be possible, I have no idea. People keep telling me I need to write a book. Gosh, I'm not sure I want to go back and relive it, but I appreciate that you care. I do write in my blog about some of my experiences as a female in male-dominated sports talk radio. But this was neat of Peter, and I appreciate that he took the time to write about my passion, write about the challenges, but also write about me. It's not just me as a host, it's me as a person. So if you haven't seen it, it is on Twitter, both of our Twitter accounts, but it's also on our Facebook page, and pretty cool. While you're visiting either of our social media sites, we do have a spot where you can ask Amy anything, because that is part of the Hump Show every week. Gosh, that even predates us moving to five nights a week here on After Hours. That goes back to when the show was on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. So send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And just so you know, before the month is up, Producer Jay, we will have a video version of Ask Amy Anything. So he is collecting, now that we are post hoops and hockey, we can get off the beaten path a little bit, which is really the time of the year that I love. We've got the U.S. Open in golf coming up. That takes place this weekend, always leads into Father's Day. And of course, Liv and the PGA as a merger now, not against each other, but odd bedfellows. That is the top story with the U.S. Open. Some of the best players in the world are being very open regarding their feelings about this upcoming merger, to the point where you're hearing the B word, betrayal, from some of the top players on the planet. We've also got Major League Baseball, the Subway Series, but not just that. Did you see what happened in Oakland tonight? Now, coincidentally, and yes, I'm being snarky, it's not so coincidentally, the Nevada Senate has approved nearly $400 million in public money. Public money. I feel like I'm kind of glad I don't live in Las Vegas right now. That's going to be a bit of a tax hike, no? Public money to build a ballpark for the A's. So that's a done deal. Same day that Nevada Senate approved this public money for a brand new stadium, the fans in Oakland, who had their team at home at the Coliseum on Tuesday night, decided to do their reverse boycott, meaning thousands and thousands and thousands of fans. And here's the comparison. You need to hear this. The game drew nearly 28,000 fans. The largest home crowd of the season, obviously, because there's not a whole lot to show up for when it comes to these A's. They're not fielding a team that is competitive on a nightly basis. They don't even average 9,000 fans. Is that worse than Tropicana Field? It's got to be this year, considering that the Rays are the best team in baseball. The A's don't even average 9,000 fans. This is more than triple for the reverse boycott. So this was supposed to be kind of a snarky tribute to the team in Oakland, but also this idea that the ownership and the franchise are steadily alienating fans so much so that they don't want to show up at the ballpark. They don't want to put money in the team's pocket or in the owner's pocket. And so what they would prefer is that there's a competitive team, that the money goes into fielding a team that the area can be proud of. But instead, it's all about making the team as streamlined as possible, if you will, to be ready for a move to Vegas. So this was supposed to be a get-together, a party, again, a reverse boycott to show A's ownership that they can, in fact, support the team. How about you put a winning product on the field and we'll show up? But why are we going to spend money to come to what is a crappy facility? And it is. You ask anybody, it's crappy. I understand why the A's want to get out of there. But it seemingly doesn't matter what the fans do or what the municipality does to help them out because they were bound for Vegas. And so we'll hear from some of the A's as well as the audio. It's pretty incredible. Reverse boycott in Oakland on the day that the Nevada Senate agrees $400 million in public money for another team in Vegas. So now there's pro hockey, there's pro football, and there will soon be pro baseball. It's only a matter of time until there's an NBA team. Only a matter of time. So it's our hump show. We got a lot to get to. Really excited about hanging out with you. Oh, did I mention there's practice in football? Because what kind of a sports radio show would we be if we did not talk about practice in the NFL? It's mid-June. No, seriously. It's mid-June.
We're talking about practice.
And somehow, there's so much going on in football that I would not be doing my job if I did not talk about it. For instance, Dalvin Cook explaining why he's no longer in Minnesota, why he believed he deserved better than what the Vikings were offering him. Do we need to do our next mandated edition of QB News tonight, Producer Jay? Or are we waiting until our next show? We now have a sponsor for QB News.
Yeah, we could do it either one.
Or we could listen to Odell Beckham Jr. First practice with the Baltimore Ravens. How about that? I mean, there is QB news like the Kyle Trask Baker Mayfield competition.
Hello.
It's scintillating. All right, coming up next, they are victorious in Vegas. Victorious in Vegas. The Stanley Cup is awarded. Oh, it's super cool when you hear the audio of, or see it, either one. Mark Stone is the captain of the Knights, holding the cup first with Commissioner Gary Bettman and then skating away with it, holding it above his head. I always worry about them dropping it. Holding it above his head, and you can hear the swell of noise. It's amazing as the fans react because, you know, they've suffered for such a long time. Congratulations to the Golden Knights and to Jonathan Marchessault, Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, Aiden Hill, Bruce Cassidy as the head coach, and then a little bit from Paul Maurice as well. It's a lot to do. It's our hump show. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. Love you long time. Thanks for joining us, Ms. Hump.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart?
shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers, and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The Conn Smythe Trophy goes to the most valuable player in the playoffs. This player, second in scoring in the playoffs, tied for first for goals, and an original Golden Knight, Jonathan Marchessault.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Listen to that noise. Absolutely love it. These moments, they're not every day. They're not every month or really every season do we get the stories that are as cool as what we've had this year. And I really do love that it's fresh blood. You know, I say that a lot. And partly that's me. After doing this job on the national stage for nearly 20 years, I love it when there's something fresh. I love it when it's something different. It's great to be able to spread out the coverage and the attention and the focus on different fan bases and different franchises and different regions of the country. And yes, we've talked more about Las Vegas over the past few years because of the influx of teams and attention in the sports world and certainly the influx of sports betting. But the fact that we get a brand new winner in both the NBA and the NHL floats my boat because it's new and it's fresh and it's exciting and there's great stories to tell. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. From the NHL on TNT, Jonathan Marchessault, the Conn Smythe winner. You hear Gary Bettman, who is the NHL commissioner. Man, he's been around for a long time. 13 goals, 11 assists for Marchessault, though it's Mark Stone, who is the captain, first to hold the Stanley Cup and hoist it above his head, and a hat trick in the clincher on Tuesday night.
Unbelievable. Just looked in my teammates' eyes when I got it. One of the craziest feelings I've ever had. Just to know that I did it with my 25, 30 best friends makes it that much more special. Can't even describe the feelings in my stomach right now. It's everything you can imagine. The grind of an 82-game season, four playoff rounds. You grind and you grind and you grind. And at the end of the day, the last team standing, it's incredible.
Yeah, even if it's a franchise that didn't have to suffer and a fan base that doesn't know the meaning of waiting a long time, these guys, they definitely have been through the ringer. And so it's really neat that it was the first six guys who were still members going back to when they were in their inaugural season, first six guys who were members of the roster and are still members of the roster today. They're called the Original Misfits. They got to hold the trophy first. That's pretty cool. And there are so many great stories, too, as I say. You, especially in Buffalo, may have soured on Jack Eichel, but he found a home in Las Vegas. He's been through quite a lot, too, with injuries and with the exit from Buffalo, and now with the three assists in the clincher and double-digit goals in the playoffs, he is a Stanley Cup champion.
A lot of adversity, but you know, coming here and being with these guys every day, it really changed my outlook on a lot of things, and I started to you know, really enjoy coming to the rink again, and you know, obviously got my health back, and I can't give the Knights, the entire organization, enough credit for allowing me to come in here, you know, get a surgery and get back out. And I mean, we just have an unbelievable group of guys in that room that really, really care about each other. And when you're going on a run like this, it's hard to process what's going on while it's happening. But when that thing comes out of there, it's a pretty special feeling.
So congratulations to him as well. The NHL on TNT with these post-game interviews. There are a few that come from the podium, like the head coach Bruce Cassidy. And if you know his story, he was in Boston from 2016 through last season, first year in Vegas. And to be able to win the Stanley Cup, right, in his first year in Vegas, he recognizes that it's not just him. This was a culmination of the process of building the team, establishing the franchise, and then get this, the owner, Bill Foley, he had a plan going back to pre-Bruce Cassidy.
What I didn't know right away when I got hired, he says he was going to win the Stanley Cup in year six, and I found out it was year six after I signed. So I said, all right, there's a little bit of pressure here, but here we are. But like I said, I'm happy for Bill. He's a terrific owner. You know, he's no pressure, and he comes in and, you know, just lets you do your job, and it's just wants what's best for the team.
So Bruce Cassidy finds out after he took the job that Bill Foley had said Stanley Cup in year six, which would be all on his shoulders, right? But I think it's kind of cool, the symmetry of the six remaining players from the first roster and then year six. But Bruce Cassidy, what redemption for him, too.
Here we are.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jonathan Marchessault, as we say, part of the original six. He's also the Conn Smythe winner. And you can imagine what a career achievement this is for him.
It was a bumpy ride for sure. Definitely a lot of hard work was put in, and especially through the past few years to achieve my goal. My wife was unbelievable, to be honest. And you know what? Like, you don't hear enough about it, how big they are in a career of a professional athlete. And so happy to do it. And there's a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, and it was just a great feeling right now to see my journey where it brought me, and that's something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
They all have a path, a winding path in some cases. Guys, especially who've logged a decade in the league or have paid their dues, so to speak, have been around. I mean, some of these guys have been blindsided by trades. They were moved in, they were moved out. Maybe it was their friends, their teammates that were treated in a way that would feel gruff, much more businesslike than what we think of in sports, right? We're loyal as fans, but that's the hard part, is that if you want to build a franchise, there are a lot of front offices and even ownership who try to take loyalty out of it. It's why I don't ever I don't ever get on an athlete or criticize an athlete when he wants to leave and go somewhere else, because you know that the franchises, they'll make those breaks quickly if they feel like it will benefit them and maybe get them closer to winning, or maybe sometimes benefit their bottom line. And so for the athletes that are still there, just the six of them, to see this through, it's been a revolving door of people around them in Las Vegas. That's the part that I think is so interesting, is they form the foundation, sure, and they've been there since the beginning, and so it's meaningful to them. But think about the number of guys that are in and out, in and out, in and out, whether teammates, even coaches. There's been all kinds of changes in Vegas to get to this point. It all fell into place. So congratulations to them. They scored four goals in the second period, and to me, the turning point, really, after the Florida Panthers had scored their goal to get on the board, you have the Vegas Knights answer back, and then 90 seconds later, they get the fourth goal, right? So there's 90 seconds between goals three and four in the fourth period, and that really seemed to signify what was a blowout, what was the floodgates opening, so that they were gone. Let's see, whatever shall we do now that there's no hoops in hockey? Someone asked me last week, are you going to miss basketball when it's over? Or no, actually, I guess the question was, which sport will you miss more, basketball or hockey? You know what? I'm not sorry to see them go, as I say about the NFL. And the NFL does not heed my advice. But as I say about the NFL, we can't miss you if you never go away. So I am perfectly happy to miss hoops and hockey while they go away. Although the drafts are coming up and free agency too. July 4th is now famous for its connection to NBA free agency. All right, coming up, a Subway series that begins at Citi Field. The Mets are still going the wrong way, and seriously, Max Scherzer, is he just done being Mad Max? Is he now, I don't know, can we come up with another M word? I mean, I could come up with a few.
It was a little clumpy.
No, not clumpy. Although he's all about defending any pitcher who gets ejected and then suspended for sticky stuff. Mopey Max. There we go. That's it. He's Mopey Max. He's not Mad Max anymore. He's just moping around. Pat, what are you doing in here?
The update.
Really?
Yes. He could be Sad Max instead of Mad Max.
No, it's got to be an M. We like alliteration.
Okay.
Yeah. So he can be maniacal. He is that sometimes. But yeah, I kind of feel like he's mopey right now. He's missing in action, too. He could be missing Max.
There you actually. Go. That's a good one.
Drunk.
No, not that. That's not an M. So, Pat, the last time you were here in studio with us, you were winning Chubby Bunny.
I was. That was a good day.
How long did it take you to recover from your first ever Chubby Bunny World Championship?
Not long, not long. And in fact, I've been in the gym. I'm getting ready for next year.
Are you?
Yeah.
What do you do in the gym?
Eating a lot of marshmallows.
You don't eat them. You stuff them in your cheeks.
I know, but I'm eating them to improve my jaw strength, so that when I do have to stuff them in my cheeks, open up the pockets, doing a lot of cheek blowing out exercises.
Okay.
So that I can fit as many marshmallows in these cheeks as possible.
I'm sure no one at the gym thinks that's strange. No one.
That's beautiful.
I've got my own corner.
Probably people are steering clear of you.
You got the amen corner
the Masters.
I've got the mellow corner. Marshmallow corner.
Have you ever seen Squishmallows, by the way?
Yes.
They're stuffed animals. I love them. I went on a buying spree recently and bought like one for every member of my family. So they make me happy. They're very squishable, as are the marshmallows, the giant marshmallows. So yes, he's our Chubby Bunny World Champion, and now he's going to try to pretend like we should take him seriously while he's doing an update. I'm just kidding.
I should do an update with marshmallows in.
Yes, the Chubby Bunny update, the Chubby Bunny Sports update. All right, we'll do Subway Series next. It's After Hours, CBS.
Baseball is in full swing. The free Odyssey app lets you listen to local coverage for the team you love, live stream your favorite sports radio station, or jump back and listen to the best segments on demand.
Don't forget, we talk to the manager every Tuesday at 2 p.m.
Don't listen to some guy from the other side of the country tell you about your team. Live conversations for your local team. No matter where you are, your season, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Yes, Sports Radio on Twitter and Facebook. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything pronto.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swung on and a little bloop to shallow right center. It's going to dunk in for a base hit. One run has scored. Here comes the second run in. Volpe scores. It's a two-run bloop base hit by Bowers. And the Yankees, down 5-1, have scored five runs in the inning and have a 6-5 lead.
Holmes to the belt. The payoff pitch to Lindor. Swung on and missed strike three. He got him with a 97-mile-an-hour sinker, and that's the second out here in the eighth inning. 3-2, two out to Marte. Holmes ready. The runners go. The pitch swung on and missed strike three. He got him with a slider. Clay Holmes comes in with the Mets having the bases loaded and one out at the bottom of the eighth. And he strikes out Lindor and Marte, and the Mets come up empty.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A combination of pitching for the New York Yankees that comes through in the late stages, bases loaded in the eighth inning for the Mets, but Clay Holmes is able to get out of that jam. And that is the follow-up to a five-run fourth inning for the Yanks in which they're able to rally. John Sterling and then Howie Rose on the Yankees and Mets radio network. The best we know, no foul balls careening off the head of John Sterling in this particular game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's our hump show, which means sometimes foul balls do, in fact, careen off our heads.
By here.
Poor guy. He is a trooper and a true professional. As I say, the hump show means you can ask Amy anything. So send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. And that's named after the show. We'll get to that coming up within the next couple hours. So the Yankees are able to get to Max Scherzer and chase him in the fourth inning. Once again, I'm going with Mopey Max now. I can't call him Mad Max anymore. I'm going Mopey Max. Six runs on seven hits against the Yankees in just 3 1/3 innings. So, yeah, that was the secret. Haha. DJ LeMahieu and the Yankees able to find some angles, find some seams, and jump on some pitches.
He's one of the best pitchers in the league. I think we just had really good at-bats and kind of wore him down. And when he made bad pitches, the few he made, we took advantage of him. So up and down the lineup, I thought we did a really good job against him. And, it was, like I said, a good win.
This is simple. I struggled with my slider. Every time I was throwing my slider, it was hanging. I wasn't executing it the way I need to, especially with two strikes. I was not getting the pitch in the locations that I wanted to. At the end of the day, coming through this bullpen, this turn in the rotation, I thought my slider wasn't actually in a good spot. I thought I was going to be pitching within. And I thought it was getting, glove side down away. I can't believe that I was hanging that many sliders in all those situations.
Well, at least he knows. At least he knows what's happening. He does get paid a lot of money to know. Also gets paid a lot of money to fix it. Six runs on seven hits doesn't get through the fourth inning. And here are the Mets who've lost 9 of 10. And it's not just Mopey Max. It's everyone who's feeling it right now with the New York Mets.
It's tough, to come to your job day in and day out, and it's hard to swallow the water. It's whenever it gets like this, however, you got to drink it. You got to drink it. You got to continue to move forward day in and day out and stick together. Just play as hard as you can and have faith.
Got to play better. That's it. Go out there and play better. I got to be better tonight. You can put the camera right on me. I got to be better. We all got to be better. But if we're going to win, we got to win as a team. So everybody's got to do their part to win as a team.
Francisco Lindor, Max Scherzer, Mopey Max, they're all saying the same thing, but definitely going the wrong way in the NL East, where the Braves, even though they've lost a couple in a row, they've still won 7 of their last 10. Same thing with the Miami Marlins. The Phillies are starting to play a lot better. We're starting to see a version of the Phillies that could be competitive, nearing the Mendoza line. They're just a game below 500. They've won 8 of their last 10, which means the Mets are now closer to the Nationals than they are to the top of that NL East division. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, and likely they're going to be without one of their relievers too because of an incident that happened before he ever threw a pitch in the seventh.
Mets reliever Drew Smith, as he came to the mound and was getting ready to deliver his warm-up tosses, it was determined by the umpires that he had some sticky stuff, and whatever that was the product of, Smith has been tossed from this game without having thrown a pitch.
My hands were sticky, and I had everybody check him as I was coming off the field. I don't know if that was caught on camera. The MLB guy in the tunnel, I kind of forced him to feel my hands as I walked in. I just grabbed him like this and pulled, and he actually laughed and said there was nothing there. That's the frustrating part, is it changes from crew to crew. If there was, you know, set guidelines, or you can even maybe monitor spin rates. I feel like my spin rate's been pretty consistent, and I feel like that's an easier way to go about things. If a guy's spin rate jumps up 300, 400, obviously he's using something. But I didn't even obviously get a chance to throw a pitch tonight, so nobody will know.
I think we're all angry about this one. You know, you feel his hand, you don't feel anything. I think he even said, you know, like when going into a check, like this was the lightest he's ever felt. Like, and he's been cleared by every other umpire, and now all of a sudden he's getting thrown out.
More with Mopey Max, although there he may have actually been Mad Max. I don't play that just to tease about Max Scherzer. I think that Drew Smith makes a good point, and probably Max does too. It cannot be a judgment call. Really, there's got to be some type of hard and fast rules, guidelines. This can't be like pass interference in the NFL. It just can't be. Because these pitchers, if they're having MLB officials check their hands and there's nothing sticky, there can't be no checks and balances. And I truly believe that. I understand that you can have a lying pitcher, right? Max Scherzer, according to a couple of different umpires going back to the first month of the season, his hands were so sticky that even after the umpires checked him, their hands were sticky and their fingers were sticking together. It can't just be one man's call or even one crew's call. I think Major League Baseball needs to have some oversight. I'm not exactly sure how to do that, but if it's become this much of a problem where it varies from game to game, crew to crew, and you've got MLB officials telling the pitcher, hey, there's nothing wrong here, and this doesn't fall within what we would consider to be ejectable stickiness. don't think about that too much, please. There needs to be some oversight. Now, I didn't love in the NFL when they started reviewing pass interference. I didn't. That was dumb, too, because it is a judgment call, and because it is going to vary from official to official who's calling it, what he sees. I don't think that there should be an official review, so to speak, but maybe Drew Smith shouldn't be suspended for 10 games if the MLB official is rubbing his hands and inspecting his hands and saying, there's nothing there, or laughing about it, which is even worse. I might get really ticked off if the MLB official that was there in the clubhouse thought it was funny that I got ejected and didn't have anything sticky on my hands. I don't think it should be a carte blanche 10-game suspension. If the MLB official on site can verify to the MLB offices, who's ever in charge of handing down these suspensions, reviewing them, if there's even a review. I know it's supposed to be an automatic 10-gamer. But if the baseball official who's there at the stadium can't feel anything sticky on the hands of a pitcher, first of all, I don't know what the umpiring crews are doing then. But if that's the case, he shouldn't automatically be suspended for 10 games. If Drew did have other people check his hands as he's walking off the field prior to ever throwing a pitch before the seventh inning, I mean, you're punishing a team enough to throw their guy out. But if there's others that can verify, that his hands are not sticky and there are no foreign substances on his hands, I don't think that the automatic 10-game suspension should kick in. I think there should be some oversight. Maybe a little bit like how the NBA does it when there's a flagrant foul, a one or a two, or there are a couple of technicals given to a player and he gets ejected. The NBA goes back and reviews that, and sometimes they rescind technicals or they rescind these fouls. I think that should be the case. Maybe baseball needs a process like that. We'll talk Oakland next. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.